EMZT Radio is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audio download and a free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/EMZT. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Welcome to another episode of EMZT Radio. I'm Bane Hellborn, and my partner is back!
Yes, I'm alive. I swear to you, I'm alive. I am so alive. Or something like that. I have no idea.
Did you stay at the radio station you were working at?
Yes.
Oh.
For 48 hours. For 48 hours, I was in the station.
Wow.
I did what they call military sleep, which is basically literally sleeping with one eye open.
Jesus.
It's staying in a state of very light sleep.
Yes.
And so here's the fun thing. Okay. Now, you know how during natural disasters and things like that, most radio stations, they'll go to their broadcast partner on television, which is exactly what we did. You know, I mean, hurricanes coming in and we can't be on the air 24, obviously we can't be on the air 24/7, giving you updates and stuff like that. So we turn it to our broadcast partner. And the hurricane comes through on Friday night, and I had just laid down. Like, my job basically for those 48 hours was to ride out the hurricane and make sure the stations were on the air, and at least we'll have somebody that's in the station if everything goes to shit.
Okay.
So, which basically, for those of you who don't know what goes to shit means, basically it's where the backup generator fails. And there are six stations that are off the air. Or in our case, because of what we did, there would have been 12 stations off the air in three markets.
Oh, yuck.
Yeah. So I stayed there. I have one eye open, basically. I'm just laying down, just getting good, mentally ready to fall asleep. And I hear Paul McCartney.
Okay.
Now, I'm sitting there. And it jolts me up, but for a few seconds, I'm very confused. It's like, am I dreaming? Why are they, you know, pausing hurricane coverage to interview Paul McCartney?
Oh.
It's like, did he die? Are they showing something? So I race downstairs, and how we have it connected is the cable box is connected to the board. And so we have where the cable box can feed the audio to the board and we can turn it up and all that other good fun garbage.
Right.
I am jolting downstairs and Jimmy Fallon is on. Or not Jimmy Fallon. I can't remember. Who's on? Seth Meyers.
Right.
It's one of the NBC idiots.
Yes.
Because our broadcast partner is an NBC affiliate. So I make the phone calls. It's like, you also have to remember that one of our stations is a gospel station.
Of course.
So, okay, I don't have a problem with, you know, Paul McCartney on a gospel station, because Paul McCartney is going to... And the next guest was Kylie Jenner.
Okay, what?
Which really sounded great on a gospel station, so... That was an oxymoron there. Yeah, that was the fun part of my Friday night. You know, we got a lot of wind, and we didn't lose power up at work at all.
Nice.
But for maybe, I don't know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. They actually, when the first squalls came in Thursday night, a lot of people did lose power.
Right.
But the crew, after the squall came through, the crew immediately, bam, was out there, all on the door, ready to go, was putting power lines back up. So nobody lost power for any significant amount of time, at least here, Thursday night and Friday. Friday was a different story. There's some people that, you know, the neighborhood I live in lost power because, you know, my neighbor cannot, will not, I should say, not cannot, will not, because he owns a landscaping business, will not take care of his trees. And he had one tree that was extended over a power line, and guess what happened?
Brought it all down.
Yep. Otherwise, we wouldn't have lost power.
Right.
So, yeah, there's my fun story. By the way, the end of the radio story is we actually ended up having to, quote-unquote, go dark for 6 hours. Because radio is now very complicated.
Uh-oh.
it's very computer oriented.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And you have to give the computer the correct programs.
Yes.
And the correct commands.
Yes.
And the person who does that was in bed and we could not wake him up.
Oh, Jesus.
So we ended up losing 6 hours of airtime in the middle of a natural disaster because our broadcast partner decided not to tell us they were killing off their hurricane coverage early.
Be nice for a heads up, dude.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, well,
While you were going through that, I went and almost broke my leg.
There you go. See the links we go for EMCT Radio, kids.
Yeah.
We're willing to put ourselves in physical harm for you.
You know that story about walking on a foot or a leg that's asleep that you could possibly break your leg?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But I didn't break my leg.
Aw. Well, oh, yeah, shit, you didn't break your leg. Like, no, I'm
No, I know. I know. It was, I was sitting with my mom on one of the days I sit with her. We both fell asleep on the couch and I heard a knock at the door and I went to get up and my foot was asleep. And I started running on it. Next thing you know, I'm on the ground and you hear snap. But
snap, crackle, pop, you're old.
Yeah, nothing's broken, amazingly enough. But it still feels like I pulled something very badly.
You probably did. Yeah,
I'm sure I did, but the x-rays didn't show anything. But at least it's no broken bones.
Yes.
So
there's some good news.
So on and off, I'm hobbling.
Hey!
Now.
Hey, getting into some horror stuff, did you see the video?
Which video?
Robert Englund is back as Freddy Krueger.
Oh, for the Goldbergs?
Yes. I was about to say, kind of. Yes, he's going to be on a Halloween episode of the Goldbergs.
Yeah.
I've heard that show's
really
funny.
Will give him nightmares.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure of that. You know what, though? I'm sure that's a funny show. I just don't watch it.
Oh, it is. It's hilarious. It's so stupid, but it's hilarious.
Yes.
And the story of Adam Goldberg is way off because he was born in the 90s.
I was about to ask, was he born a poor black child?
No, he was not
born. I was born a poor black child.
He was not born in the 80s. He was born in the, well, I think it was like 89 was when he was born. So. No, it's really, you should give it a try, because it's hilariously stupid.
that's my whole thing. Oh, I don't know if you saw it or not, but the Child's Play remake, we saw the Chucky doll, so I guess it's real.
Yeah.
You know what, though? I'm not that upset about it. I'll give it a shot. I'll give it a go. And my favorite story of the week is the unrated version of the Evil Dead remake, which wasn't that great, okay? But the unrated version, anytime I hear unrated version, I get tingly. It's the truth, folks. Real tingly. The unrated version of the Evil Dead remake is going to be out in October on Blu-ray.
All right.
So sweet, sweet. And sad news, unfortunately, to report that Alien star Al Matthews has passed away.
Oh.
Yes. Matthews, of course, everybody remembers as Sergeant Appone.
Oh, no! Appone?
Yeah.
Oh.
Now, get this. Are you ready for this?
Okay.
He was legitimately a military sergeant.
Well, of course. I mean, it showed.
Get this. Okay, Matthews, born in 42, was actually a military sergeant in real life. And according to his IMDb bio, while on combat duty in the Vietnam War, Matthews became the first black Marine to be meritoriously promoted to the rank of sergeant, or meritlessly. You know what I'm trying to say, folks. He did it on merit. Promoted to the rank of sergeant. In his 6 years in the Marine Corps, Matthews was awarded 2 Purple Hearts and 13 combat awards.
Wow.
Yeah. Also, other than being known for Sergeant Appone, he was in Superman 3, The Fifth Element, and Tomorrow Never Dies.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Assholes and elbows, people. So that's the tribute right there.
Okay. So, a little bit of gaming news.
Oh, we have gaming news.
Just a little. Just one article. So, Telltale, the developers who make the Walking Dead game.
I know.
Well, they're done. They're done, and yeah. they're closed down, and they laid everybody off.
Well, they're not officially closed down yet.
Well, no, but they kicked. They kicked a lot of their people out. They gave them 30 minutes to leave the building.
Wow, 30 minutes? What heartless minutes. Shits. What heartless yeah. shits so there. Hey, by the way, we're shutting down. Oh, you got 30 minutes to get the fuck out.
Yeah, get out. And no severance package or anything like that. Ooh, just get the fuck out. You're done.
They must be extremely broke. I mean, like...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because the sales for, let's see, for the Walking Dead, the final season didn't pay off for them.
Yeah, I know that season three sales were horrible. Because yeah. Walking Dead season three was pretty much panned. It was yeah. awful. And then you got the final season of The Walking Dead, and then they were supposed to have a Game of Thrones game coming out too, weren't they?
Yep, that's all canceled. They yeah. were going to do Stranger Things. They were the ones who were going to make the 8-bit video game of Stranger Things. All canceled.
They're still working with Netflix, though. I think there's one project with Netflix they're working with, and then once that's
Minecraft
done,
story mode for Netflix. Yeah, that's yeah. still they're finishing up that,
and then it's over.
They were working on Walking Dead, but yeah,
Then yep. it's over. It's all over.
It's over. And plus, it also is saying that part of the closure is due to it was a toxic work environment because of bad management.
Well, shit, that would explain a whole bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Bunch of cheddar goblins they are.
Yeah, so...
Cheddar goblins.
No more Walking Dead, the game. Bye-bye.
Speaking of the cheddar, have you seen the cheddar goblin thing?
Yes, I saw that picture.
I love the cheddar goblin. I want my own cheddar goblin. And I want some of the cheddar goblin macaroni and cheese, although I make my own macaroni and cheese. But... Damn it, I want a cheddar goblin.
Yes.
Those things look so awesome. They are the horror icon that you didn't know you ever needed.
Right.
So,
Jordan Peele is confirmed as the host and narrator of The Twilight Zone. Yeah. Instead of a Rod Serling type, you're getting a black guy. So.
Well, I don't... Okay, that part I don't care about. But yeah. I did not see the Emmys. I saw a lot of the... what do you call it? Highlights?
Okay, you're right.
I just hope that the white bashing is going to be at a minimum with that. And I know that it was really directed by Lorne Michaels and all that, but I mean, it was just kind of over the top.
Yeah.
So, anyways, that's really all I've got. Oh, Warwick Davis is talking a Willow sequel. So is Ron Howard.
Oh, I'd go for that.
Yes, Ron Howard says he has... a idea for a new Willow.
Yes.
We can't call it Willow 2. We can't call it Willow 2 because it's not technically part of the Willow story.
Right.
But could Ellera be getting her own story?
Well, yeah, it would have to have her because that's what it mainly was about.
Yes. Ellera would, Willow would be significantly involved, Ron Howard said, but it would be a lot more on Ellera.
Yeah.
Yay!
Yay! I would go for that. Yes,
I'm
yes, yes.
All for that. All right. We need to get to some music because it's music time here. As
yes.
we have successfully wasted 15 minutes of your life.
That you can't get back.
You can't get it back! No refunds! EMCT Radio.
After all you put My heart can't be broken anymore. It's already shattered in pieces on the floor.
You want to add glitter to that glue you're sniffing, that's fine, but don't dump your wackadoo all over us. We'd rather not step in it.
The show that puts the story back into history.
History is all about discovering the why, and I think that in that process, it's important to never take the story out of history.
Making history come alive, one episode at a time. Visit themondayamerican.com to get more. Dive into the Monday American. Don't worry. We'll be gentle.
You love midnight movies, don't you? But can you handle midnight movies 24 hours a day?
Your death will be indescribable.
Find out on Black Flag TV. The first viral television on the web. Black Flag TV is entirely dedicated to haunting horror, science fiction, and cult movies. Broadcasting live, 24 hours a day, obscure independent movies and classic horror. Make Black Flag TV your sanctuary for the horror genre.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Visit us now, blackflag.tv.
I'm the daringest devil you've ever met. Love.
This is EMZT Radio. Come and let your ears bleed.
This here is Alonzo, and my name is Clyde. There are a dozen of them things following us, so we all should probably beat feet right now.
Clyde? How did they get in front of us? They're faster than they look.
That's gotta be a different group.
Who cares? Either way, we're surrounded.
Back into the store! It's clear inside!
Front door open.
Kid, get behind me. I got them covered.
Let me clear them from the front door a bit.
Okay, head for the door.
Front door open.
Okay. Let's put some distance between us and them and get deeper into the store.
Okay. I'm Becca Charles.
Pleasure.
Doris. With two R's.
So, Clyde, Alonzo, is there a plan?
We were trying to finish a sweep for survivors, so we continued this way around the center of the mall.
Dumping the fast ones as they catch up to us.
Didn't think there could be a large group in front of us and behind us. I guess it ain't much of a plan.
There's a security station nearby. There should at least be an outside phone line. And maybe some cameras. Maybe we can see a way out of here.
I used to work in a place like this. There's a back door. It probably opens into a rear corridor. We should be able to get into any of the stores in the center of the mall from there.
Good idea, Doris.
So, how are we going to do this, officer? Is there some kind of police protocol for opening doors?
If you're a SWAT team.
How about
if we see one of them dead things, we just kill it?
That sounds like our last plan.
But why fix a problem when it ain't broke?
Okay. Nothing.
Look, down there. Sign says security is that way.
Not too far ahead now. Stop at the corner.
Oh, it's okay. Crap. Found one.
Jack!
Thank you.
Take that, Jake.
Jake? That's your husband?
No. Bastard didn't turn the alarm off. It's all your fault, Jake! This entire mess is all your damn fault!
Clyde? Is Doris all right?
In my experience, people can get a bit unhinged during a zombie attack.
Here, I have the key.
Come on. There we go.
Look at all these monitors.
Crap. The phone line's dead.
Clyde, you have to come over here and see this.
What is it?
Oh, this is like a bad dream.
Oh, Lord.
The cameras show the entire mall surrounded.
Oh, dear.
More of them are streaming inside.
God, some of the outside doors must still be open. There's no way out.
We are totally hosed, man.
Our options just got severely limited.
Well, we sure as hell fire can't stay here.
Fool, we cannot get out of here.
I don't see why we'd want to leave. In here, there are walls and food. This place just seems safer.
If it's all the same to you, I can't stay here anyway. My son and my husband are out there.
Yeah, my grandmother is out there. I shouldn't stay either.
My husband, Jake, is out there as well. He is a jerk. And I don't care what happens to him.
I don't see signs of the cavalry coming. So, if you folks have kin out there, I'll help as best I can.
Hey, I came in through the roof. There are some cables we could use to climb up there.
Or a giant fake palm tree.
And there we are on the roof. Where do we go from there?
There's a small alley. Look, you can see it on this camera.
Is that it?
It's one of those weighted ladders. The ladder lowers to the ground when there's weight on it, and then goes up when the weight is taken off. The dead things cannot get on it from below.
That sign says employee parking, and it's got a fence around it. There are only a couple of those dead things in that lot.
We can take them.
Okay, then we go there.
I know this street. It's not well traveled. And I know that building.
Moi Moi Donuts?
No, across the road.
Oh, the gun store. Yeah, I forgot. We had problems with them in the past, but they just reopened.
I know the owner. We can get weapons, and then get a car, and get out of here.
After finding my son and my husband.
And my grandmother.
We get everyone, and then head out. Have some land outside of town. Lots of room. Got gas tanks on the property, and a creek.
And we wait?
Yes. Yes. We wait for it to blow over.
What if it doesn't?
We survive this? I'm gonna order some pizza and we're gonna move some furniture around, you understand?
Hey everyone, this is Beaumont Bob from Bowling with Bobcat. You can listen to me live every Monday night at 10 p.m. Eastern at sfdradio.com, where I'm bringing you the best of the worst in cheap booze, talking bum wine, beers, 40s, malt liquor, and more. Always featuring the latest and greatest in the world of drinking and entertainment, along with some special guests. So come on down and take a ride with Bum Wine Bob. If you can't be there live, you can always listen in the archives at bumwinebob.com. So sit back, relax, grab a drink, and enjoy. Cheers.
Chronicity, a state of prolonged duration, recurrent, Habitual Chronic.
A new miniseries on chronic pain and illness by your friends Matt and Phil from Semi-Intellectual Musings.
We go beyond medical diagnosis to explore the often forgotten political, social, and personal sides.
You'll hear stories from extraordinary people overcoming extraordinary challenges.
Authors, entrepreneurs, volunteers, coaches, and caregivers.
They are so much more than their diagnoses, yet each have found ways to persevere.
You'll also hear some familiar voices from the indie podcast community,
showing that art, creativity, and passion are possible while living in chronicity.
These stories and more, starting April 1st at thesim.podbean.com.
The Horror Gaming Report brought to you by ThatTechShop.com. Head over right now to ThatTechShop.com and type in the code EMZT at checkout for 20% off of all items for PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox.
Since I'm finally back on the podcast, I guess it's time for some horror gaming news. And we got a lot to do this week. First off, it is the 32nd anniversary of the classic Castlevania. One of my first favorite games ever on the Nintendo system. And I have just memories of playing that game for hours upon hours upon hours. So I am so, so excited to actually hear that there is going to be a new Castlevania game coming out. Unfortunately, it's coming out in a system I don't have. For you PS4 people, Castlevania Requiem is coming out October the 26th. So check that one out. And how about this one? This game looks great. It's a survival horror throwback game called Back in 1995. And even the animation kind of looks like it was either put on the Super Nintendo or really the N64. The game is an homage to classic survival horror games, such as the ones on the good old PlayStation, of course. This one is going to be a heck of a lot of fun, I'm sure. There's already a teaser up on YouTube. You can go check that out right now on their page. Back in 1995. Is the name of that one. That should be really, really good. Sad news to report, unfortunately, and it seems like, you know, we talked about Telltale Games in the open, but it's getting a lot worse for you, especially for you fans of the Walking Dead game that Telltale put out. The final season now is temporarily not in the store. The Telltale drama doesn't seem to be going away anytime soon, in spite of the reassurance that Telltale was going to put The Walking Dead, the final season, out. It looks like a statement on GOG.com says Telltale has requested a temporary pause of sales in the final season and refer people to their Twitter page for updates. The Twitter page, unfortunately, doesn't have any since September the 24th, stating they're working on a solution to get episodes 3 and 4 out the door. This one actually follows a class action lawsuit brought on by former Telltale employees for alleged violation of California's WARN Act, meaning they basically just weren't warned early enough to get that thing out. How about this one, though? The Red Develop team is actually out and about, and they are happy to announce that they are fully out of alpha, looking to move straight into beta, and they will put out the Lucid Nightmare is finally going to come out on stream. They say early October for the PC or Oculus VR. So great news and congratulations to them. So that's your horror gaming news for today. It is the Infamous One and signing off.
Yeah.
Now we done feeling our feelings, because I'd like to get out of this room before we both start growing lady parts.
EMZT Radio is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/EMZT. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. For you, the listeners of EMZT Radio Podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. That's audibletrial.com/EMZT.
Hey, Insaniacs. This is V from Creeping Beauty, and you are listening to EMZT Radio.
Yeah.
from 1428elm.com, top 5 most iconic horror villains. The horror villains on the top 5 list have definitely earned the right to be called icons. Let's take a look at some of the familiar faces of evil in the genre. Number 5, Leatherface, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, 1974. The original. Based on the life of psychopath Ed Gein, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre burst onto movie screens in 1974. The heartless killer terrified the life out of us by cutting off his victim's skin and sometimes wearing their body parts for his own personal satisfaction. The story revolves around a group of friends who end up in the middle of nowhere, but are soon targeted by a chainsaw-wielding maniac. This classic documentary-style film has inspired multiple sequels and remakes. Some of them sucked, others were okay. It's still a cult favorite among purists of the genre. The fact that the story is somewhat based on true events is what makes it so intriguing. Now, the real-life crimes didn't involve a man wielding a chainsaw, however, most of the other details are pretty accurate. In his own right, Leatherface is definitely a true horror icon. Before Michael Myers was doing his iconic head tilt, or Jason was ruining the campers' lives at Camp Crystal Lake, Leatherface, along with his chainsaw, was wreaking all kinds of havoc. Number 4, Chucky, Child's Play, 1988. The world was introduced to Chucky on November 9, 1988. Charles Lee Ray was a serial killer on the lam and running from the police when he was apprehended by law enforcement and shot multiple times. With some voodoo, he was able to transfer his soul into a good guy doll called Chucky. Enter Andy, whose mother just bought him the demonic doll. Of course, Charles Lee Ray wants to transfer his soul into Andy, but he fails in his quest to become human again. Even in later movies, Chucky became more of a comedic character. He still had a very creepy presence, which made viewers very uncomfortable. The thought that a good guy doll could be capable of so many heinous crimes is completely unbelievable. That is what made Chucky so terrifying.
Surprise! Did you miss me, Andy? I sure missed you. I told you, we were going to be friends to the end, and now it's time to play. I got a new game, sport. It's called Hide the Soul, and guess what? You're it. Adi Dui Dembella, give me the power I obey. This is no real shit. I'm not gonna spend the rest of my life as a plastic freak. Next time you're alone, you're mine.
Number 3, Jason Voorhees, Friday the 13th, 1980. In the original Friday the 13th in 1980, Pamela Voorhees was on a vengeful quest for blood as she slaughtered all the teenagers who resided at Camp Crystal Lake. When she was decapitated by the lone survivor, that allowed her son Jason Voorhees to be involved in many sequels that were to follow her demise. Jason Voorhees continued his legacy by killing anybody who would step foot onto the Camp Crystal Lake property. With his iconic hockey mask and a large machete, Jason would rule the massacre and anybody who would get in his way. For the most part, in the 1980s, Jason was the face of the slasher genre. If it wasn't for Friday the 13th franchise, horror as we know it today wouldn't be as prevalent. The Jason Voorhees saga isn't for everyone, but for a true hardcore-to-the-bone horror fan, it is perfect.
Did you know that a young boy drowned the year before those two others were killed? The counselors weren't paying any attention. They were making love while that young boy drowned. Jason should have been watched every minute. He wasn't a very good swimmer. We can go now, dear. You let him drowned. You never paid any attention. Look what you did to him!
Number 2, Freddy Krueger. Nightmare on Elm Street, 1984. The Dream Killer, famously known as Freddy Krueger, was created by Wes Craven. He is the stuff that nightmares are made of, a child killer who preyed upon young teenagers in their dreams, scaring the life out of them, literally. After being burned alive by vengeful parents, Freddy Krueger's evil would come back to haunt everyone in their slumber. Played by Robert Englund, Krueger struck fear into the hearts and minds of all those that lived on Elm Street. Now the entire Elm Street franchise has spanned over 9 movies, if you count the remake, of course, which failed miserably at the box office. What makes Freddy Krueger so terrifying is not only his burnt skin and his long knife gloves, but also his sick mind games. He enjoys toying with his victims slowly rather than going straight for the kill. Because he needs you to be afraid. If you weren't afraid, it didn't give him any power. Freddy Krueger will go down in history as one of the most iconic horror villains of all time. The legend of the nightmare will continue to grow and grow even after we are long gone.
Hello, my little piglet. I'm Freddy. That's right. The man of your dreams is back.
Come to Freddy.
And number 1, who do you think it is? Michael Myers, Halloween, 1978. At number 1 on this list is the mask killer himself, Michael Myers. The Shape first appeared in John Carpenter's 1978 classic film, Halloween. When Michael Myers brutally stabs his sister on Halloween night in 1963 for no apparent reason, he gets sentenced to a mental hospital. 15 years later, he escapes and goes on a killing spree that lasts for 10 sequels. Now Michael Myers has no rational explanation as to why he committed the heinous crimes. Because he can't speak. Or he won't speak. Probably can't from all the years of not speaking. Later in the film sequels, however, his motives are explained. However, the original intent of the Myers character was that he was doing all of these horrible things for his own satisfaction. He was purely and simply evil. In terms of the slasher genre, Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho got the ball rolling, but Halloween kicked the door down and helped to influence many horror films and horror villains that we know and watch to this day. If there was no Michael Myers, then the likes of Jason Voorhees and Freddy Krueger would cease to exist.
I met him 15 years ago. I was told there was nothing left. No reason, no conscience, no understanding, and even the most rudimentary sense of life or death, of good or evil, right or wrong. I met this 6-year-old child with this blank, pale, emotionless face and the blackest eyes, the devil's eyes. I spent 8 years trying to reach him, and then another 7 trying to keep him locked up because I realized that what was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
And there you have it, the top 5 horror villains of all time. And you are listening to EMZT Radio.
I'd be happy to kill her. She just called me a fish.
Bringing mystery when night falls.
talk. This is not pretend. When night falls, we will be together. Night falls, bringing mystery. When night falls, my kiss will last forever. Supernatural attraction between you and me. Supernatural attraction between you and me.
Jefferson Starships. Huh? Because they're horrible and hard to kill.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Okay.
Who do we appreciate?
Vagina.
Comes in 3 different sizes. Small, medium, and large. There is an extra large, but y'all pay more for that. But y'all can get 2 for 1 in the bog off offer. Buy one, get one free.
Baga.
That's what they're called, bogos.
We call them bogos.
Bogos. Buy one, get one.
Yeah. Oh, bog offs. Right. Buy one, get one free. Yes. Okay. This is such a blooper one. This is gold.
This is Lucan Wolf, and you're listening to EMZT Radio with your hosts, the Sinister Sisters.
Sinister Sisters.
Welcome to another Sinister Sisters. I'm Bane Hellborn with my sister,
Scorpio Girl.
And we're still on British horror.
Urban legends.
So we're doing the British urban legends. We have a few.
Just a few. Hopefully we don't have the same.
Well, you switch websites, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, now the UK is full of, because it's old, it's an old place, so it's more historic, and they have older horrors, so.
Well, some that I found was, like, from the 80s and 90s, well, so.
But I mean, it's.
They have more rich history.
Yeah, the stories around it are older.
But you know what I found out researching these is, you know how when we did the one from each state in America?
Mm-hmm.
Ours were like straight up full of shit.
Well, most of them, yeah.
But these in the UK seem to have more
the
of
the part robot.
Robot, seriously, people. But no, it seems like the ones from the UK that I researched definitely have more of an actual, very plausible stories and and history behind it, where ours was full of shit.
Yeah.
So let's get into it.
Okay, so from the land of Essex, the Epping Forest, which is the British version of the Suicide Forest. They have a pool of water that seems to, well, the story is there's people that drown themselves in this pool. It's like they're drawn to it, like the Japanese suicide forest.
The story.
There's your ominous music.
Really? And it was so fitting. Timing! Killed it. Nailed it. Anyways, wasn't the original story was that there was these two young lovers that tried to steal away, and the girl's father
followed them,
and there was a scuffle, and the boy ended up being killed at the
edge.
No,
they both died. They both died. He killed them both, his daughter and the boyfriend.
I thought it was just the boyfriend.
No, they confronted him, and the father responded by killing them.
Oh, okay.
He threw them in.
I guess it depends on the website you go to.
Yeah.
Okay, so killing them. But after that, the water turned black, wildlife was dying.
Yeah, it was showing, the wildlife and the surrounding area around this pool was, dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then bodies started appearing in the pool. Like, floating up.
Right, there was, one of them was like a...
And it was not the young couple that were killed.
Yeah, but there was also a story about how there was a young girl with her baby dead beside the edge of the water.
Mm-hmm.
So...
So it's, so they says that's where the legend stops right there, is that it's...
But
sort
I don't
of like
know.
This,
I don't,
it's a suicide pond.
Yeah, but I don't know how it's a suicide pond where the legend starts with a young couple that was killed there. They didn't kill themselves.
No.
It was more like a murder.
It was a murder, but...
But and then just saying that they found that young woman with her child beside her, it doesn't say that...
It doesn't imply that it's a suicide.
Right, but then when the bodies started popping up... It didn't say
maybe,
that.
Maybe it looked like a suicide. I don't know.
Maybe it's just a cool dumping ground.
That sounds like a dumping ground for a serial killer.
Yeah, it doesn't sound more suicide like they go there to kill themselves. It sounds like they go there to hang out with the other dead people that got killed.
But this is the story, is that it's a suicide pool, that it's drawing people in.
I'm just going to have to say, change your title and we'll be fine. Body dumping pond.
For serial killers.
Or whomever. I mean, you don't have to be just a serial killer.
Yeah.
It could be a first timer.
And it's perfect because the water's black.
We're not judgmental. Neither is the pond.
No. No. Pond don't care.
Pond don't care. It just wants bodies.
It wants the dead.
All right.
What else? Oh, don't you have something?
I have... There's a vampire in Highgate Cemetery.
Oh, yes, the Highgate Cemetery vampire.
Is that one of yours?
Yes, but go ahead.
Oh.
Go ahead, we'll switch off.
All right, well, sounds so far-fetching that it may have been dreamt up by one of those wacky Victorians, right?
Yeah.
Nope, this myth first appeared in 1969 and immediately caught the public's attention. It began with the sighting of a spooky gray figure, which... Obviously can't have anything other... Which can't be, sorry, anything other than a vampire.
Yeah, couldn't have been a ghost or a shadow person or
no,
something.
No, of course it's a vampire. It's
because it's in a cemetery.
And it's England. You know. So, we gotta make it a vampire.
Well, that's where the vampires came from.
Right? That's where they originated, God bless it. So, locals were soon seen marching on the cemetery, some armed with crucifixes and wooden stakes in the hope of killing it. And, There was actually a man arrested for consecrated graves because
desecrating graves.
What's consecrating?
It's where you're blessing it.
Well, why couldn't he be arrested for that?
Desecration is he's digging up the grave to kill.
You don't know. He could have been pissing the cross on them. For all I care.
He could have pisses holy water.
He pisses holy water. Shit. You don't know. That's why you get arrested. Sir, you're pissing on this grave. I'm consecrating it with my holy water piss.
All right.
But since
he drank a lot of holy water. He went to the church and sucked up the sepulcher of holy water.
See? There okay. we go.
There we go. That's plausible. Not.
I've got to put my American twist on this.
Okay.
But anyway, since no proof of the vampire was ever found, it could still be out there. Information is sketchy as to whether he's the malevolent Transylvanian type or the brooding yet sparkly American kind.
Yeah, because they can't
find
him.
So, you'll have to search for yourself.
And apparently the man that was arrested was a vampire hunter because he's been to more than one cemetery doing this, putting down the vampires.
Oh, but he's part of the Van Helsing bloodline. Come on.
Maybe, maybe not.
I still believe in the pissing holy water thing.
The holy water! But Highgate Cemetery is very famous in the UK. It's very old. And it looks like it could be haunted. I mean, this shot was done during the late afternoon.
It's still creepy. It's a fucking cemetery.
It's a fucking cemetery. It'd be very haunted. I can see that.
It's the home of dead people. Come on.
Okay.
What do you have?
So, how about in Whitechapel, the corpse train?
This is a really interesting one.
Yeah.
This is where you understand the UK care more about their people.
It says it has no supernatural origins or manifestations. It's just that hundreds upon hundreds of corpses in the early days of the tube, which is the subway, it was not uncommon that many people would die. So faced with overflowing morgues and nowhere to put the steadily mounting bodies, the Royal London Hospital came up with a solution equal to part genius and part grotesque, which I still think it's awesome.
Right.
Without telling anybody, they allegedly installed a new line on the underground running underneath the hospital and into Whitechapel, a line they could use to ferry human cadavers away from the morgue to lie unremarked upon the station's spare ticket office just meters away from the oblivious commuters. So nobody could see this.
What comes to my mind is I'm wondering if we're that movie, was it the Meat Train?
Or Midnight Meat Train.
The Midnight Meat Train. I wonder if that's where this kind
Clive
of...
Clive Barker might have... Well, it was written by Clive Barker. Hell yeah!
Well, that seems like really... I mean, now it all makes sense. Yeah. Because that movie was way twisted, but way genius as well.
But according also to this article, it says it's almost certainly untrue. So they're also calling bullshit on this story.
Well, I don't think it's untrue. I mean, I think that for the time frame, it's a little off.
Yeah.
Because wasn't there tons of people dying back in...
Well, yeah, they had plagues. They had the plagues.
Yeah, but was there trains back then during the plague?
No. So the tubes, the subways... So it depends on when that was constructed. That would have started in the late 70s, 80s.
I have no idea. No, I'm not familiar with.
Remembering American Werewolf from London, that was 1980.
Oh, okay.
So 1980-ish, but I mean they had those trains for a while. So it could have been the late 70s, the 70s.
Yeah, but what was going on to where there was a mass of dead bodies that they had to haul through a train?
Somebody not doing their job.
So they got that over there, too.
Somebody was being a lazy shit, not wanting to do their job and do the morgue thing and put the bodies.
What I'm saying is, what was the reason the mass dead?
Well, might have been another plague. You know, they still have rats.
Jesus. Okay.
They have rats. Or did that werewolf get them all?
Right?
Your turn.
Oh, shoot. My turn.
Your turn.
I didn't know we were doing a...
Yeah, we're going back
and forth. I don't know about this very much, but there are no roads in the city of London. Did you hear that, all you Londoners out there?
You're actually not traveling on roads.
You're not traveling on roads, no. Mm-hmm. It's one of those urban legends that's so outlandish, it surely has to be false. I mean, how else do the buses go around? Mm-hmm. You know, things like that. This one relies on a technicality, as most of the streets in the city of London were named before road entered the English language. Huh. So consequently, as alley, streets, squares. But up until 1994, there was not a single road in the entirety of the square mile. So technically, there was no
Whitechapel Road.
Whitechapel Road. There was no. It was Whitechapel Alley. Whitechapel Street.
Got it.
So yeah, that was the year in which boundary changes put half of Goswell Road in the city of London. Although part of this road still belongs to Islington. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, not really an urban legend, I guess. But kind of when, you know, there's no roads in London. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's part of the urban legend of here, how the streets were made. The founder threw spaghetti
spaghetti
down.
So, yeah. So, in our hometown, the legend is that the creator designer of our city was also the designer of Disneyland. So, how he created our roads here is that he got a bowl of spaghetti, put it on the, dumped it on a map, and said, "There are your roads." And I am a delivery driver, and I shit you not, it is very plausible.
Yeah.
Like, these roads are so, like, messed up.
The main road that goes all the way around town is windy like a spaghetti.
But it's not just that. It's like, oh, you're delivering to such and such street. Okay, which one? The first one, the second one, the third one? Yeah. Or the one on the south side or the one on the north side? I mean, it's the same freaking road, but it cuts up.
Yeah, it cuts up all through town.
It cuts up all through town. So, I mean...
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, I know it's not an urban legend, but maybe it was because there are no roads in London. There are none.
And we got spaghetti roads here.
And we've got spaghetti roads here, so plausible. Plausible.
So, in Croydon... there's Cane Hill Asylum.
Ooh.
It was in operation between 1882 and 1991. Thousands upon thousands of patients passed through the doors.
Well, that's the thing, because this was famous for patients not being taken care of, neglected.
But also some famous
tortured.
Ones. Some famous ones were here, like Charlie Chaplin's mom.
Charlie Chaplin's mom.
And the brothers of David Bowie and Michael Caine. Were in that
what?
Hospital. Yeah.
How would they even... Wow. I mean, I wonder if it was well known that this was the kind of facility where they tortured and... Well, then again, you're thinking David Bowie and Michael Caine. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the stories of neglect and torture were the beginning stages, you know, the 1800 to
1991.
Well, no. I mean, as far as the wackadoodle doctors and psychiatrists back then.
The early 1900s.
I mean, psychiatry and medicine was
more
Jesus.
Experimental.
It was all experimental. They're like, oh, let's see what happens when we remove this leg and put it on their tit. You know, I mean, fuck. Let's try it.
Or let's shove an electrode up their ass and turn up the juice. What happens then?
What do you think would happen? Yeah. I don't know. Let's do it.
Or let's calm these angry people down by tying them up and throwing them in ice cold water.
Fuck. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Yeah. So it says over the years, disturbing reports have come in about figures moving on the grounds. They've seen shadows going by the windows.
Faces in the, because it was gutted by a fire in 2010.
Yeah, in 2010.
And so since then, there's been a lot of reports about faces in the burnt out windows.
Mm-hmm. And lots of shadow figures, it sounds like.
But according to Mr. UK, that place got turned into some sort of like apartment complex.
Yes.
Kind of thing.
It's a new, wasn't it called Cane Hill... Estates. Yes, Cane Hill Estates.
I mean, who would be stupid enough to move in besides you?
I so would.
Oh my god, you're an idiot.
I so would.
No, thank you.
That needs to have a follow-up story. Since it's now an apartment complex, somebody needs a follow-up to see if there's any hauntings going on.
Right.
Because, I mean, if it was done after 2010, ooh, shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I have...
So, we're making a call to Croydon.
We're sending investigative reporters out there to do interviews and stuff and scare the residents into a haunting. Yeah. Oh, okay. So what I've got is a monstrous beast roams Hackney Marshes.
Oh.
Yeah, back in 1981, four kids were crossing the marsh on a cold winter's morning when they happened upon a giant, great, growly, hairy thing. This can't be blamed on a disgruntled hipster without his morning caffeine fix, since this was long before Hackney got hipsterfied. Naturally, it was assumed that this was some sort of hideous monster, and whilst it hasn't been seen since, we advise keeping an eye out if you go out in the area. Actually, another report, or another article that I read was that they thought it was like a hellhound. Well, what do you have?
Well, that it was a giant, great, growly, hairy thing, and that the creature allegedly reared up on its hind legs and roared. And so it can partially stand on its hind legs.
Oh, but in 1980, they found two small bear carcasses that were decapitated and dumped.
Left to rot in the water.
So they figured... Yeah. But that so they just put two and two together. Two bears, head cut off. What could have done that? Something I say a big. Katana, but... We'll call it a big, hairy,
giant, great, growling, hairy thing.
Yeah.
That roars. Gee, could it be an escaped lion from the zoo?
I still say katana.
Katana. Okay, there's your American Werewolf in London.
There we go.
Yeah. Eats bears.
It eats pears, fall down the stairs.
Okay, so there's a crying girl at the King's Cross Station, which is one of the subways. November 18th, 1987, someone carelessly dropped a match on a King's Cross Station escalator. The resulting fire gutted the ticket office, killing 31 and
trapping
hundreds of people underground. Today, the terrible memories of the fire still linger on in the form of a crying girl. The young woman with long brown hair, dressed in jeans and a t-shirt, the crying girl has been spotted around the station, seemingly inconsolable with grief. Passengers have reported trying to comfort her, only to see her suddenly disappear in the crowd, or feel their arms going right through her. More creepily, people have heard her sobs when the platforms are empty, and others have smelled smoke curling out from underneath the escalators. Although no one has ever got a clear look at her, it's thought she's one of the fire's victims, her spirit left behind to wait forever on the platform where she died. That said, crying children often turn up in urban legends, many of which are cautionary tales and may go some way to explain the King's Cross haunting.
That's really sad and depressing. Thanks for that.
That's very depressing.
I mean,
so that's...
could you imagine being a ghost and...
From the late 80s. A ghost of the late 80s. Oh,
but still, you know, to die that way.
And be stuck there.
And be stuck there. That's pretty tragic.
Yeah. And damn, they used flammable material.
I mean, who the... maybe this is why matches aren't that prevalent anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's careless people.
Careless.
And whispers, but hey. So I have Green Park has no flowers because of a cheating monarch.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have that one, too?
Yeah, go ahead.
Of course you have that one, too. Good. See, this is a completely different website.
It's fine.
Okay, the Merry Monarch, better known as Charles II, used to pick flowers for his wife in Green Park. However, the dastardly dog also picked flowers for other women. And when his wife got wind of this, she ordered all the flowers to be removed to foil his smooth moves. This is said to be the reason why Green Park has no flower beds. Unlike the other royal parks, the Queen's plot didn't quite work out, though. Charles II ended up fathering at least 12 illegitimate children.
Without the flowers.
Without the flowers. Seems the ladies liked more than just the flowers.
He had something extra.
So see, I thought this was going to be a cool urban legend about an actual butterfly, but it comes out to be royalty.
And they couldn't be stopped.
I mean, dude, keep it in your pants.
Well, it was the whole thing. The royals have free reign over anything.
Well, I can't speak of that, but now a whole park doesn't have flowers. Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Can't Keep It in Your Pants. Did you like that one?
Oh, shit.
What do you have?
Bethnal Green Station. 1943, Bethnal Green in East London experienced one of the worst wartime tragedies. Not from bombs or flying shrapnel, but from something potentially far deadlier. Panic. Oh, okay.
Wow. Induced fear.
So, where they killed each other.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
During a routine air raid siren test, civilians on their way to shelter in the tube station all happened to converge at the entrance at once. In their panic to get downstairs, some people tripped, and then the stampede began. As more and more people fell to their knees and bodies kept piling in the door, the panic became a deadly crush. 173 people were trampled to death, including at least 41 children.
What?
This disaster was Britain's worst civilian tragedy in the entire war.
Oh, my.
Oh, this is World War II. God. Okay. 1943. World War II. Over 70 years after the accident, the memory still scars the station. There is a plaque that commemorates it.
Oh, my God.
From an air raid test.
This was fake. This wasn't a real thing. An air raid test?
Well, it was still during World War II.
I know, but it was a freaking test?
It was a test.
Oh, my.
Because they thought it was really happening.
Fuck.
So it says, underground staff and late-night passengers have reported hearing women screaming and the sound of children crying.
Oh, my God. The worst kind of paranormal.
Yeah. So do the voices of the dead still linger beneath East London streets? I'll say yes.
I mean, shit.
And you can go down there and check it out for yourself if you like.
No, because ghost children are... I'm sorry. I will have to say, number one, top on the list, ghost children are the worst fucking paranormal experience. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got me in Blair Witch.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. they got me in every fucking movie that involved children. Mm-hmm. I mean, no. No and no.
So,
but how can you be... I mean...
So they commemorated it. It says at the bottom, it says about what I just said, about how many died, what day, and it says at the bottom, not forgotten.
Well, I mean, because you could hear them crying.
Well, now you can hear them screaming, crying and screaming. Yeah.
That is tragic. See, these urban legends are tragic and sad. Mm-hmm. America, I guess, you know.
We have to make up shit.
We have to make up shit and make it comical, but man, this is...
It's bad.
This is tragic. Yeah. These... Wow. Hmm. I've got Spring-Heeled Jack Still Torments London.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't have that one.
Well, he's got long claws. Oh, Jesus. He vomits fire, and he jumps higher than an Olympian.
You mean he jumps higher than Superman?
Spring-Heeled Jack was the supreme terror of Victorian London until another Jack turned up several years later to steal the crown. In the 1830s and 40s, tales of Jack were common, attacking women, causing carriage crashes, and pretending to be a fire-breathing policeman. Mm-hmm. Mass hysteria and regular appearances in the penny dreadfuls further contribution to the legend of old Jack. A man called Thomas Milbank boasted of being Jack and was subsequently tried, only escaping jail because he was unable to breathe fire on command. The most popular theory is that Jack was a wacky nobleman with money to burn on outlandish costumes, but that didn't stop him from being spotted as recent as 2012.
Whoa.
Okay, the 2012, you could definitely know it's a copycat, because with technology today, well, I don't say technology, but...
Well, yeah, with technology today, you can imitate somebody jumping really high. Well, you know, high.
those fire eaters, they mm-hmm. have that, what is that? That powder... You know, when you go, and it goes, bleh, and it's a fireball in front of you.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if they had it back then in the when.
No, I'm not 1800s. Sure. I'm not sure how they did it back in those days.
He must have been a chemist.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, of course he wasn't vomiting fire.
Well, the standard way they did it was somebody drank some alcohol, you know, some spirits, liquor, and spat it out over a flame. That's how they did it back then.
Yeah, but where would they get the flame? We're talking 1800s, right?
They had matches.
In the 1800s?
Yeah.
They didn't Sounds have like no some lighters. Sherlock Holmes shit right here.
Hey, he's from London.
That's what I have brought it up. I was trying to stick to the theme. Where'd you go there?
Sherlock Holmes, go solve that one.
When you have to explain it, it just doesn't work.
Blew it.
Yeah, it's all right.
So still to this, well, 2012.
It says, Secret London's verdict, false. He'd certainly add some Victorian lunacy to present-day London, but the London of Spring-Heeled Jack is just that.
Legend.
So he predated, actually, Jack the Ripper.
Yes, he was before Jack the Ripper.
What if they're one and the same?
No, because he would be seen, because he wants to be seen. Spring-Heeled Jack, to where Jack the Ripper really didn't want to be seen, so he got away. Nobody could identify him because he
would get away. How long did it take to identify the real Jack the Ripper, though? So he really didn't want to be seen either. He wanted his handiwork to be seen, not him.
Right. No, but the Spring-Heeled Jack wanted to scare people.
That's a good one.
Yeah. All right. Faceless Woman, Beacon Tree Station in Barking.
Ooh, this is a good one.
Okay, if you ever find yourself catching the tube, I love how they say tube instead of subway, back from Barking late one night, do yourself a favor and steer clear of Beacon Tree Station. Small and unassuming, the station is nonetheless said to hold one of London's creepiest ghosts, the Faceless Woman. The most famous iteration of the story takes place in 1992. A station supervisor was closing up, where he heard a rattling on the handle of his office door. Going outside to look, he found a female figure waiting on the platform. She was blonde in a pale white dress. As she stared into the distance, the supervisor approached. He had almost reached her when she turned around. Where her face should have been, he simply saw a ghastly blank. Slenderman.
Right.
Other iterations of the story have her appearing directly before somebody or simply standing down the far end of the platform, waiting for a train that'll never come. It's theorized that she's the ghost of someone killed in the 1958 crash, when a train skipped a signal and plowed into the back of another, killing 10 people. Why she stayed behind when all the others have long since vanished is a question no one can answer. And apparently she can't either. She has no mouth.
There's no face.
There's no face. However, it's also worth noting that the Faceless Woman haunting has been associated with various sites across the world and may be rooted in urban legend. So she's not the only story around. Nice.
I think I remember reading that there was one account of a supervisor that was there, saw this woman sobbing and went to console her, and when she turned around, there was no face. And
no face.
That was just, you know, shitty pants. So
he wore his brown pants.
He wore his brown pants today. So what I've got is London's wild parakeets are Jimi Hendrix. They're not Jimi Hendrix or his ghost. The birds originally belonged to Jimi Hendrix. Yeah. So here's how it goes. Perhaps the most delightfully kooky story on the list concerns London's most colorful wild birds. You've probably seen at least one of the 60,000 strong flock of parakeets that inhabit southwest London and wonder where they came from. Well, Jimi Hendrix owned a flat in Mayfair in the 60s and was known to have a couple of rose-ringed parakeets, the very breed that now roam wild. Could the rock star have released the original breeding pair from Carnaby Street? London's verdict is, since no one has ever definitively proved where the birds came from, they're choosing to believe that this is true. I mean, who wouldn't? Jimi Hendrix left a legend that became urban.
His original birds made more birds.
Heck yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
The Tulip Staircase Ghost in Greenwich. 1966, the Reverend R.W. Hardy.
This is the infamous photo.
Was visiting the Queen's House in Greenwich. At the foot of the tulip stairs, he paused to take a picture, which I'm looking at this picture.
Yeah.
And there she is.
It's one of the first paranormal photos I ever remember seeing.
1966.
Well, I wasn't back then.
Well, at the time, he thought no more about it until he got his photo back. So he didn't see this until after the photo came back.
Creepy.
Which looks like she's trying to climb the stairs.
From the other side.
Looks like there's two people, because there's another set of hands here. See, here's two.
But she's on the other side of the stairs, not the actual stairway?
Yeah, she's not on the staircase. Yeah, she's on the other side of the railing.
It looks like they're hanging. You're right, there is two sets of hands.
Yeah, this is another figure.
I never noticed
that before.
See,
there's the woman. Here's the woman.
And there's
another figure. Because look how far apart her hands are. That can't be hers.
Well, it's a ghost. They can stretch.
It transpired that the Reverend had accidentally taken one of the most infamous pictures in supernatural history, featuring a mournful hooded figure clinging to the railings of the staircase. Yeah. It appeared to be impossible, the sort of ghostly picture you couldn't fake. Not in 1966.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah. When news of the photograph got out, the British Ghost Club decided to investigate. Oh, British Ghost Club. With recording equipment in tow, they headed to the Queen's house to perform a seance. The records of the evening made for some uniquely disturbing reading. Starting at 10:54 p.m., the team began to make observations. These start off in fairly boring fashion at first, noting bell rings and stones and whatnot. But as they go on, things start to get spooky. At 11:15, they record a slightly damp smell, followed by the distant ringing of a bell. Then suddenly something happens. The handwriting becomes illegible, as if distorted by intense fear. Then it descends into mad scribbles before stopping altogether. Oh, the report?
So they're doing... No, I think they're doing ghostwriting.
Okay.
They did a lot of ghostwriting.
Oh, seance. They were doing a seance. They were doing ghostwriting.
Ghostwriting during seances, yeah. Okay.
Even now, no one really knows what the team saw that night, but the legend of the Tulip Staircase ghost lingers on, just daring some amateur ghost hunter to try and solve it. Ooh, ghostwriting.
Yeah.
That's a scary experience.
Well, that was common back then with seances.
I tried it once. It's very scary.
It is because, I mean... I tried it a couple of times, and you don't really know if it's just your automatic kind of... Because I did notice that my fingers felt, like, bloated mm-hmm. and warm and tingly, mm-hmm. but I just got squiggles. I didn't get, like, actual words. It was just like my hand was doing a natural kind of just squiggly
doodle,
thing.
Like a doodle.
Yeah, like doodle. It wasn't really writing anything. But that's not the only thing I noticed is afterwards my hand was, like, puffy and tingly.
Yeah. That's someone holding on to it.
Right? I couldn't write anything because I was like, no!
Yeah.
So I don't know if this is really like an urban legend, but it seems like Hitler wanted to live in Balham? Balham?
Balham?
Balham?
Balham?
I don't know about those H's. I always Balham? Pronounce them and I don't think I'm supposed to. Balham? I mean, who doesn't? I don't know. I've never been there, but...
I don't know where Balham is.
When Hitler was brainstorming his takeover of Europe... He apparently spent time considering where his UK headquarters would be. Well, whilst Senate House also claims the dubious honor of being desired by the Führer, Duquesne Court in Balham emerged as another leading contender. It looks like a standard apartment block now, but at the time it was considered an Art Deco masterpiece. Amongst the reasons for the rumor are the fact that it escaped the Luftwaffe's bombs... even as much of Balham got hit, as well as the fact that it looks like a swastika from above if you really squint. Or maybe Adolf was just really into Art Deco. London's verdict is kind of irrelevant given how history worked out, but since we can't ask Adolf, this could be true. Hmm. That's all I got.
So that was the most interesting stories we could find of the British urban legends.
I mean, the history is so deep and so rich and so involved. These were just some that we could pick out, and not really having some sort of background history knowledge.
Because we don't live there.
We hope we've done some good with the UK.
Yeah, I like hearing stories that are not American.
I mean, I really appreciate that their stories really have, like, a background story and not just full of shit like ours. I mean, we seem to grasp at straws just to make something really interesting. I think their stories are really interesting from the beginning.
And they had no robots. No robots.
It was Comic-Con.
And that wraps up another episode of EMZT Radio. It's good to have Matt back.
Well, okay, if you say so. No, seriously, it is good to be back. I had a week that was already taken off because I had a lot to do the previous week. So I wanted to take that week off to rest, and then fucking hurricane hits. So
And then you had to take it off because you couldn't get online.
That paycheck is going to be fat, though. P-H-A-T-T-T-T.
Fat. It better be. That's all I can say.
I worked 130 hours in those 2 weeks.
Jesus.
Yeah, so, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. So there you go. I'm going to have a little extra cash flow. Hey, just to give people an update on the gaming stuff, I have bought Fallout 76, so it is official.
Oh.
We will be having a celebration of Reclamation Day. We will have a Reclamation Day celebration. Do not worry about that. Zombie Stompin' Saturday Night on Twitch has a new game as well. We're gonna go back into 8-bit.
Oh, nice! That's fun.
Death Row to Canada.
I haven't heard that one.
Will the fun duo of EMZT actually make it to Canada? You never know.
I don't know.
In non-horror gaming news, just to let everybody know, I've got a series that's going to start on Twitch, on our EMZT Twitch here soon, called From Shrimps to Sharks. So if you're a soccer fan, check that one out. I'm taking a League 2 team in England, and I'm going to make them Champions League champions.
Good luck.
We're going all the way. So yes, it is From Shrimps to Sharks. And if you can't tell by the title of it, the nickname for the team that we're taking over are the Shrimps. Yes, the Morecambe FC Shrimps.
Nice.
So yeah, we'll be doing that. And until Fallout, actually, we're going to start doing some Fallout celebrations here. We're going to go back into the time warp. We're going to play Fallout 3 for a little bit on Fallout Mondays. Doom Tuesdays is still a thing. We have our Rise Wednesdays and Noir Sundays.
Well, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, so we're playing LA Noir, and we're still in traffic, mind you. We're still traffic detectives, but the next level up, homicide. And guess what we get to get? Guess what cases we get to get on? Give you guys some of the spoilers. We may or may not be working with some murders that might have something to do with the Black Dahlia.
Oh, that'd be nice.
So yes, we have to get out of traffic first, and you know, we're working our way out of traffic, and then we'll be in homicide.
Ooh, fun!
So, yes, all that and more. Saturdays, of course, is Zombie Stompin' Saturday, but we already talked about that. So, Zombie Stompin' Saturday. So check it out, EMZT Productions on Twitch.
Okay.
Where we can actually upload videos, hint, hint. And, honestly though, we can upload videos there. And that might be the home base for a lot of things for a little bit. Because fuck you, YouTube. I hate YouTube at the moment. I'm just saying, I hate YouTube.
Is it anyways, giving us trouble?
No, it's just that they're becoming more and more... I don't want to use the N-word there.
Oh.
Not that N-word, the other N-word. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Sieg Heil N-word.
Right.
As far as content goes, so.
Yeah.
Okay, other than that, I'm done.
Yeah, and I did not get to go to any of those movies. Because we had Slender Man finally came out, and it was only here for a week, and then they got rid of it, because I guess our town's too scared of it.
Yeah. No, they got rid of it because it's completely shit.
Oh, no, don't tell me that.
I did finally see it. It is a pile of dog vomit.
No. And The Nun's been here a while, so I'm still considering seeing that. And then The Predator came out, and I haven't seen that yet either, and I want to go see it.
Well, then we need to get our ass off of our ass and go to the movies.
Yeah, but we got to wait for $5 days.
Let's go out to the movies.
I had originally planned a $5 like matinees, like see two movies for $10. Didn't happen. But that's what I need to do. $5 time. And okay. Bring your own stuff. So, are we done?
I think we're done.
Okay. Stay tuned for another episode of EMZT Radio.
Let's go out to the movies.